Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rasul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. In the past few days, we've been covering some of the parables and examples mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. And by now you may have noticed a common theme in these examples was to do with giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions alongside these parables, and keep in mind that we aren't going through every parable in the Quran in this class, we're just selecting some. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentioned the virtue of the one who gives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the virtue of one, the example of one who gives insincerely. Then he mentioned the example of the one who gives sincerely for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today in verse number 275, we examine another example given by Allah azza wa jalla. And in this parable, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now taking our mind towards not just the charity, but where the money is coming from that you're giving your charity with. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us there. That where is your money actually coming from? Now there is either a halal way of earning wealth, or there is a haram way of earning wealth. And the haram way, even though it may give much more in terms of result, you may have a greater dollar value in front of you sitting in your bank account, but remember that there is no barakah in that wealth. And even though you may think that this wealth is pure and you can use it for a good cause, this is shaitan fooling you. That if I have more wealth, I can contribute and give to the poor, I can contribute to build a masjid, I can give to the orphans across the world. But know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no interest. He does not want a person's wealth that's impure. The ends do not justify the means in Sharia. In Sharia, the means matters, and it matters greatly. Therefore, in verse number 275, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. Those people who consume, who eat riba. Riba in the Arabic language means az-ziyadatu mutlaqan. It means any sort of increment. Anything that's increased, you call this riba. Now, even though that's what it means linguistically, in Sharia it has a more fine-tuned definition. Now, in order for me to cover the details of riba in this class, it would take too long. There are different types of riba, riba al-fadl, right? And then there is a riba al-nasi'ah. So there are different types of riba. But one of the most simple definitions that you'll find in the works of the jurist is they say, كُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا فَهُوَ رِبَى. This is in relation to riba al-nasi'ah. كُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا فَهُوَ رِبَى. Which means that when a person gives a loan to someone, when he gives money to someone to borrow, if you gain any benefit from that, كُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا. If you gain any benefit from that, فَهُوَ رِبَى. This will now become riba. Now, in Islam, we do not have a problem with people making a profit on a product. We don't have a problem with that. I sell a phone to you, I make a profit on that, this type of transaction is called murabaha. It is a halal permitted transaction. It's something very good. The companions, they dealt in this all the time. So did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the thing is that these people made profit off of a service, or they made profit off of a product. If you aren't offering either of these two, then it's no longer jaiz for you to make profit. Now, the second thing that I want you to understand, that when we talk about riba as Muslims, we have to understand that Islam, it teaches us that qard, which is loaning money to someone, is an act of charity. If you want to make profit from money, you can go into partnership with someone. You know, both people, they share the profit, they share the loss. Islam doesn't allow for one person to make absolute profit while the other person bears absolute loss. And this is what happens in modern day riba. The banks give out money, they hand off all of the loss to the person who's borrowing the money, while they sit on the money that they've given, and they're making profit on top of that. In Islam, when you give someone money, you're doing it as an act of kindness. That's all it is. If someone were to ask you, why did you give this young man $20,000 for his college fund? Your answer would be, out of kindness. There's nothing else that I can get back in return. Because if I demand anything else back in return, then keep in mind, this is no longer a praiseworthy act. This now becomes riba. Keep this in your mind and keep it very clear. In Islam, when we give people money to borrow, it's viewed as an act of kindness, as an act of charity. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses this issue in the Quran. He says that riba is haram. Later on in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Qalu innamal bay'u mithlu riba." That transactions, dealing, and riba are the exact same. You know, on one side you're making profit, on the other side you're making profit. What's haram? What's the difference between these two? Allah Azza wa Jalla first of all says, "Ahalla Allahu al-bay'a wa harrama ar-riba." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made transactions halal. You know, buying and selling, making profit off of a service or a product, this is halal. As for riba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. Interest and usury, haram. Now that should be enough for us. That's enough of a reason. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one halal. He said a cow is halal, He said pork is haram. That's the end. There's no need for any further discussion. But if a person does wish to engage further, when you look at the system of riba, you find nothing but oppression there. Because the person who's borrowing the money will only suffer loss, not only little loss, they will suffer massive loss. Someone borrows $300,000 to buy a home at an interest rate of 3.5% from your average bank. How much money are they paying at the end of their 30-year term? When someone says, I bought this home for $300,000 and I got a 30-year loan on this, that's not a $300,000 home anymore. At this point, you're paying around $450,000 for that home. Don't fool yourself when you're saying it's $300,000, because it's not $300,000. Do the math at the end of the 30-year term, and you've paid close to $450,000. How is this person who barely had enough money to put $300,000 down going to pay off $450,000? This is why the middle class and the lower class of America will continue to struggle. Because the model of growth in America is dependent on riba. And if it's dependent on riba, unless you have someone who is very strong-willed, unless you have someone who's willing to face the challenges of the world and stand up strong and defeat that system, pay off these loans as soon as possible and get through their college loan as soon as possible, pay off all their loans and live as a debt-free Muslim, unless someone has that courage and can knock this task off, they will remain a slave to the system for as long as they live. And it's a vicious, harsh cycle that one generation leaves, the next generation comes. One generation leaves, the next generation comes. Now, in transaction, what happens is, every time you make a profit, something of value is transferred. So one person doesn't hold all the profit, another person walks away with something too. Do you guys understand this? So if I make $3 profit off of a product, you at least gain $5 value in something. Now you have the ability to resell this again at a higher profit. Therefore, there is this beautiful constant flow of wealth in the economy, and everyone can grow together. Not one person is doing dhulm on the other person. Now, how do we connect this to the verses of the verses that passed by that we just covered right now? Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now informing us of the haram modes of gaining wealth. And if you're thinking of charity, doing something for Allah, while doing it, while trampling on the necks of other human beings, then know that your priorities are wrong. You've misunderstood it. Now the parable. Allah Azza wa Jal says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. that those who consume riba, they will not stand. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he would read this verse, he would say, لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس يوم القيامة. He would add this verse, this word, sorry. Which now the interpretation of this verse becomes very clear. That these people will not stand on the Day of Judgment, those who consumed interest and those who dealt in interest. Remember this, the one who gives interest, the one who writes down the contract, the one who is the one that's consuming the interest, all of these people are equal in sin. Because there would be no one to take interest if there weren't people to give it. If there was someone, the one can only receive if there's someone there to give it. Like backbiting. You can only listen to backbiting if someone is doing it. If someone's doing it and you're listening, you guys are all equal in the sin altogether. So this is the thing that you have to remember. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that these people, when they stand up on the Day of Judgment, they will stand, كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي, like the one who stands, يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ, who the devil, who shaitan has touched. Now this is a very loose translation. I'm going to tighten up the translation in a moment so you have a more clear vision. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, while commentating on this verse, قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسِ أَكِلُ الرِّبَى يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَجْنُونًا يُخْنَقُ, that the one who consumes riba, interest, will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, majnoon, insane. Yukhnaq, that person will be, he will be choked. This is the state that he will be. Some of the mufassirun, they say, that person won't even be able to stand on the Day of Judgment because of the wrong they did in the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that on the Day of Judgment, on the night of Isra and Mi'raj, when I was traveling through the heavens and I saw the people being punished in the fire of hell, I saw a group of people whose stomachs were very massive, bigger than the normal human beings, because that's what haram does. It gives you more profit than the average person. Their stomachs were massive. And inside their stomachs, I saw snakes. And those snakes can be seen from the outside. This is the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the warnings regarding riba are many, too many to be covered in one lecture. Therefore, the ulama, they tell us that the one who consumes riba, his example is like the one who's been touched by shaitan. Because when shaitan touches a person, when shaitan, he squeezes a person, when shaitan influences a person, their aql leaves them. Their mind leaves them. They stop thinking clear. If you were to sit with a person and ask him that there's someone that's struggling, does it make sense for you to make their life even more difficult? They will say that doesn't make any sense at all. But when shaitan touches someone, and keep in mind, shaitan, there are different types of shayateen. Keep this in mind too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the insan, the human being, and then the jinn, which is the unseen creation made from the fire of hell. From the insan and jinnat, there are those who transgress excessively. And these people in the Qur'an are referred to shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. That they are, some of them come in the form of human beings, and some of them come in the form of jinn. Now generally when the Qur'an uses the word shaytan, it's referring to those that creation, the jinn, that we cannot see, which transgresses and causes us to deviate from doing the right thing. Now another point I just want to mention while we're here, and then we'll close off. That believing in the jinn is from the issues of our iman. You know, the jinn in its creation is a creation that cannot be seen by the eye. And that's why the scholars, they say that a believer, a Muslim, will believe in malaika, even though you may not be able to see them. We will believe in the jinn even though we cannot see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hid some affairs from the eyes of the human being. And this is where our iman comes in. We believe in this creation of Allah because they are mentioned in the Qur'an, and there is no truth that is greater than the truth of the Qur'an. That's the end of that story. There are ways for us to protect ourselves, which are also mentioned in the Qur'an and taught to us by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from dealing with shayateen, evil jinn. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى, those who consume interest, لَا يَقُومُونَ, they cannot stand on the Day of Judgment, إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ, except for like the one who stands on the Day of Judgment, having been beaten by shaitan into insanity. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا, and that was because they said, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى, that transactions are just like, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ, that transaction and riba, interest, are the same. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted trade. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, and He prohibited riba. فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِدَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ, whoever has received the advice from Allah, an admonition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore they stopped. They heard the verses of the Quran and they said, I won't do this anymore. I'm going to divest from my haram investments. I'm going to divest from my haram transactions. فَانْتَهَا فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. Allah says that I'm willing to forgive your past. Whatever you did in the past in terms of your haram transactions, فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ, I will forgive that. وَأَمُرْهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that person's affairs should be left to Allah. وَمَنْ عَادَ, however, whoever continues, whoever persists, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, then these people are the people of the fire of hell. They are the companions of the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will remain therein forever. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from dealing in riba. In this verse, Allah gives the example. Those who deal in riba, they aren't dealing in riba because they have sight from Allah. They are like the people that have been touched by shaitan. And when a person is touched by the devil, they become majnoon. They become crazy. They don't think straight. They're just doing what they're doing without purpose, without proper thought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being from such people. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.